I gave a definition of autocorrelation earlier. Now let us consider covariance and cross-correlation. When there are two processes, F and G, that you want to compare, you could compute the covariance that is written as sigma FG, which is expectation of F minus its mean and multiplied with G minus its mean. And that is the integral of F minus mu F, G minus mu G, and the joint PDF, PFG, DFDG. If you have the PDF. You could normalize the covariance to get what is called the correlation coefficient by dividing by the product sigma F sigma G, the product of the individual standard deviation values. And then rho FG, which is the normalized correlation coefficient, has values between plus and minus 1. A high covariance value indicates that the two processes have similar statistical behavior. And if the processes F and G are uncorrelated, then rho FG is zero. Or if rho FG is zero, they are said to be uncorrelated. If the two processes are statistically independent, they are uncorrelated. Now, if they are functions of space, you can define or compute the cross-correlation function with a shift, alpha, beta, applied to the image, to one image with respect to the other, expectation of fxg as alpha y plus. And this may be approximated by using ensemble statistics or spatial statistics. We have seen the definitions of those approximations earlier. Correlation functions of these types are useful in the analysis of the nature of variability and spectral bandwidth of images, and for template matching, when you want to detect the appearance of a certain pattern in images, where the pattern of interest is represented as a template and correlation is performed. I mentioned earlier that we typically make the assumption that noise is independent of the signal. But there are some types of noise that are signal dependent, and you must take care of that possibility in the design of filters to remove noise. Noise may be categorized as being independent of the signal of interest if no statistical parameters of any order of the noise process is a function of the signal. And the signal could be an image. So image and signal are used interchangeably here. Now, there are several cases in biomedical imaging and also in other types of imaging where this assumption is not valid and the noise is functionally related to or dependent upon the signal. In radar image processing or imaging, and in ultrasound also, we get this situation, biomedical or not. Poisson noise is one situation where there is a dependence. The count of photons is the signal in SPECT imaging or in nuclear medicine imaging. But that itself is a random process. So imaging systems that operate in low light conditions or low dose radiation conditions, such as nuclear medicine imaging, involving the counting of gamma ray photons, are affected by Poisson noise or photon noise. The probabilistic description of an observed pixel value, G0MN, given FMN and lambda, a parameter, is expressed as lambda FMN to the power of G0MN. Exponential of that minus lambda FMN divided by G0MN factorial. This is comparable to the other expression I gave earlier of the Poisson distribution, written slightly differently. Here, FMN is the undegraded pixel value that you are trying to measure, and G0MN is what you actually measure. Lambda is a factor, a proportionality factor in this distribution, and expectation of G0MN is equal to lambda expectation of FMN. And images corrupted with Poisson noise are normalized by this factor lambda. Under certain assumptions, you may model Poisson noise as being stationary additive noise uncorrelated with the signal with zero mean and variance. In this manner, the variance is expectation fmn divided by lambda or expectation gmn over lambda. Then the variance, just a minute. Yeah, the variance is this value. So that is an assumption made with Poisson noise. In the case of film grain noise, I mentioned film grain noise could arise when you are scanning and digitizing film-based images. The granular structure of the film due to silver halide grains that is used to make up the film contributes to this noise. And Frolic and others proposed this model for film grain noise where the observed image or scanned image GMN is the original image, noise-free image FMN, plus one type of noise eta 1 MN that is multiplied with FMN or a function, the script F of FMN, and a factor kappa, which is some scaling factor, plus another noise eta 2, which is additive. So there is one noise process here that is multiplied with the signal. So this is multiplicative noise. And then there is a factor that is an additive noise. So this is a general model that can handle both types of noise, additive and multiplicative. The script F is some mathematical function. It need not be the function itself. It could the image itself, FMN, it could be some function of that. Eta 1, eta 2 are samples from two random processes that are independent of the signal. The dependence on the signal is created by the multiplication. It includes signal independent as well as signal dependent noise, the two components. And noise could be additive or multiplicative. You have both components. And if kappa is equal to zero, the multiplicative and signal dependent component is removed. You only get the previous model we had seen earlier of additive independent noise. The film grain noise was modeled with the script F function being the square root function, square root of FMN, or FMN to the power of 0.5. And eta 1, eta 2, the two noise functions were modeled as Gaussian distributed, uncorrelated, zero mean random process. One component is made signal dependent through this factor, kappa square root of MN, eta 1 MN. That is the signal dependent multiplicative part. And then the other part is signal independent and additive, eta 2. Film grain noise is modeled in this manner then. Eta MN has eta 1, which is this part, multiplicative, eta 2, that is additive. And this is stationary with zero mean and variance, and the variance is this quantity. So there is one other model for signal-dependent noise. Another type of noise that we encounter is known as speckle noise. Speckle noise corrupts images obtained by coherent radiation such as synthetic aperture radar, ultrasound, laser, and sonar imaging, which is also sound, could be of any frequency there. Here the multiplicative model is used, FMN multiplied with eta 1 MN. And eta 1 MN is a stationary process that is uncorrelated with the image, and if the mean of this is not equal to 1, if the mean of eta 1, the noise process is not equal to 1, then there is a scale factor involved because there is a multiplication. And obviously in this case, the mean of noise cannot be 0. It has to be non-zero. If not equal to 1, then you could divide it by that mean for normalization or scaling. Now there could be different models used here. The distribution of the noise source may be exponential, Gaussian, or Rayleigh distribution. depending upon the source of the noise and the application and the kind of noise that you have, these models have been used to characterize spectral noise. And it's been shown that multiplicative model of this name may be converted into an additive model. So you can apply the filters known for additive noise, where the noise is zero mean and additive, having space variant, signal dependent variance. Now, this is signal dependent, and here we have the variance of the noise given by a ratio of these variances of variance of the noise itself multiplied with the variance of the signal, sigma squared g, and square of the mean, mu squared g, for NN. So it is varying in the space domain. So it's non-stationary, space variant, and signal dependent, because the statistics of the signal come in the determination of the statistics of the noise. So this is a model that's been applied and used in practice to handle spectral noise. There are some transformations that have been proposed in the literature. I won't go into detail. I just want you to be aware of the fact that signal-dependent noise of the kind we have seen so far could be transformed into signal-independent noise by applying certain transformations to the corrupted image. Nader and Sawchuk and Arsenault and others used the models as follows. The signal-independent component of the equation we saw earlier, 328, let me go back and show that. This one. Part, signal-dependent part, two types of noise. The signal-independent component was removed, and if it is present, we could handle separately. And by applying a transformation to the whole image, the signal-dependent part of the noise was made signal-independent. For example, T of GMN, that's the transformation function, alpha square root of GMN. And alpha is a normalizing constant. And they showed that the noise in the transformed image is additive with a Gaussian distribution and has a standard deviation that is not dependent upon the signal, but given as alpha kappa over 2. So it is possible to design transformations of this kind that you apply to the corrupted image and convert the signal-dependent noise to a signal-independent noise model. And then you could handle that type of noise using well-known procedures for filtering signal-independent noise. Okay? So let us now take up methods to filter or remove noise. Before that, do you have any questions about what we have seen so far? No? Okay. A simple technique to average images to remove noise is what is known as multi-frame or synchronized averaging. But this is possible if the object that you're imaging can remain free of motion, either internal or external with reference to the camera, over a long enough period of time for you to acquire multiple images. So if you can acquire multiple several frames of images or object in precisely the same state or condition, then the frames may be averaged to remove noise. And this is known as multi-frame averaging. It is called synchronized because all of these images must be synchronized and registered properly if there is movement or motion. If there is no movement, then you simply acquire multiple frames and average them. The method may be extended to the imaging of dynamic systems such as the heart that follow a rhythm or have a cycle with phases that can be determined using another signal such as the ECG. In that case, it is known as synchronized averaging. Now, regardless of how you obtain frames, synchronized or simply multi-frame, this is a form of ensemble averaging. What you're getting is a collection of images. And in each image, there is a certain object of interest. And over the collection of images for that phase or that state of the object, the object remains the same in the ensemble of edges, noise will change, and if the mean of noise is zero, when you average, the noise gets suppressed or reduced or possibly removed. So let us consider one frame, GIXY, as FXY, the original or desired image, plus eta IXY for the ith realization or observed frame. Eta IXY is the noise in that ith frame. And suppose that the noise is independent of the signal. The original image FXY is invariant from one frame to the other. That is the assumption here. Then, the variance of GIXY is equal to the variance of the noise, because there is no other variance that pixel. Note that this is over the ensemble. It is not the variance within the plane of the image, because that is the information. But this is the variance across the ensemble for that location XY. If you are able to get m frames of the image, and if you add them all up, I going 1 to m GIXY, they are registered, that is, you're averaging the same pixel across the ensemble and repeating it for every pixel. The output is a function of the same XY coordinates. G bar XY then is an average over a number of realizations of that same pixel value over multiple frames of the image. If the mean of the noise process is zero, then the sum eta IXY tends to zero as m tends to infinity. So as you average a large number of frames, the noise in that particular pixel will tend to have an average that is zero. So the expectation of G bar XY is equal to FXY, which is the desired or original image, noise free. And the variance of that estimate, sigma squared G bar, is 1 over m, the variance of the noise, assuming that eta is just the noise process, eta I simply represents one realization of that process. So the variance is reduced by a factor of 1 over m, and the signal-to-noise ratio is improved by the factor square root of m, because there is a factor of, here it is a variance, and in signal-to-noise ratio, you would have the standard deviation. So motion or change between the frames, if it exists, will lead to problems, will lead to distortion. Assuming that there is no motion or change between the frames, considering the object of interest, then there is no loss of quality in terms of the image component, but the noise is reduced. This, I don't know if you can see from the back, I simulated this test. This is a test image that one of my grad students created for the evaluation of some filtering techniques that you will see later on called adaptive Diebold filtering. In this test image, we created randomly by placing a random selection from different shapes, square, triangle, and circle. And for each shape, there was a selection made randomly between various sizes and orientation of the triangle, and they were all allowed to overlap. Or when one object overlapped another object already in the image, the latest value was put in. So there is superposition. So that is the test image, and I added noise. So image B is the original image with noise, mean zero, and the variance is 0.01, normalized, with the pixel values normalized to the range 0 to 1. And C is a second realization of another noisy version. And D here is the average of the two frames in B and C. If you just average two frames, you don't see much reduction in noise. Part E, let me see, the average of four frames, and part F is the average of eight frames, or eight realizations of the noisy process. And given that this is a synthetic image, the objects did not move, so there was no problem in registration. The only variation is in the random realization of the noise. And when you average multiple frames, you reduce the effect of the noise. To see that, I don't know if zooming will help, but let me try. Control Y. So the original image is free of noise. This is a noisy realization. And the average of 8 frames is this, where these are 2 realizations of the noisy process. And here you can see that the noise is reduced as compared to those. So averaging over a number of frames, as small as 8, can reduce the effect of noise to a certain extent without affecting the objects. But here it is a simulation where the objects have not moved and there is no registration problem. I'll show you the nuclear medicine image example later at the end. At the end of each chapter, I have given some biomedical application where possible, and in this case, I put the nuclear medicine image example at the end of the chapter. Well, I could go there right now. I don't remember the page number. Anyway, it'll come later. We'll just leave it for now. Now, when you do not have an ensemble of images to average, like we did now, then you have to move to space domain averaging or spatial averaging within the given image. There's only one image that you have captured, which is noisy. And if you want to remove the noise there, you need a collection of pixels to average. And assuming that the process is ergodic, drawing the analogy from time domain signals, then when we do not have an ensemble of images, spatial statistics computed over windows or frames would be useful. Now, if you compute spatial statistics over the entire image, you just get one scalar value, the whole mean of the whole image or standard deviation of the whole image. That is not what we want. We need to accommodate the non-stationarity of the image. Because the image is non-stationary, the statistics need to be computed using small moving windows, and the size of the windows could be varied depending upon what you want to achieve, such as 3x3, 5x5, or 7x7 pixels, where the size is kept odd, the shape is a square, and it is typically fixed for a given operation in the simplest form of realization. It is possible to make them adaptive, make the size adaptive and also the shape adaptive. And we will see those later on. Typically, one would use a square window that is of odd size in pixels so you can center it around the current pixel being processed. Rectangular windows and windows of other shapes may be used, and we will see those later. So various statistics may be computed within this moving window of pixels. So here is an example. Here's the input image, and the window here shown in dashed line is one position of the window, and at the center is this pixel marked with a hash or number sign symbol. And the statistics computed from this window will be used to derive the output for that same location in the output image. To compute the output for this other pixel marked with the ampersand symbol, the window is moved to that position. The window is centered on that pixel. Statistics are computed using this other window with this solid line, and those values are written at the corresponding pixel location in the output image. So only the input pixels are used in deriving the output value, and the output values are written in a different array. It is not recursive in this case. So because the window needs to be moved across the image and a value needs to be computed for each position of the window, this is known as a moving window filter. And because an average is computed over the window, this is also known as a moving average filter. The average could be any statistical measure. There are different types of windows that have been proposed by different researchers in the area. And depending upon the nature of signal information you want to preserve and the type of noise you want to suppress, you could use different types of windows. The typical window is a 3x3 square, centered on the pixel being processed, which is shown shaded here. You could also use just four connected neighbors, pixels that are just above, below, to the left and right of the pixel being processed. This is called the four connected or integer distance one neighborhood, whereas the 3x3 square neighborhood is called the eight connected neighborhood or eight neighborhood, because you're using eight pixels that are connected to the current pixel, including diagonally or cross-connected pixels. You could also do this in one dimension along the row or column only using bar masks like that. You could make the square bigger, 5x5. You can use a cross. You can use bars of different size. You can use an approximation to a circle where you omit the corner pixels. You can use integer distance 2 like that, extend it. You can use cross neighbors. And there are a few other neighborhoods that have been proposed. These are some that I have seen in other sources. So what can you do with these groups of pixels that you extract? The basic filter is a mean filter. From those pixels in the neighborhood or the mask that you apply, you compute just the mean. The idea here is that the image component is relatively constant, because we are assuming the image is almost stationary or quasi-stationary. So within the window, the values of the real image are the same. That is one assumption. The only variations in the neighborhood are due to noise. So gxy is equal to fxy plus eta xy. The values of fxy are the same in the neighborhood. That is the assumption. Noise is additive. Noise is independent of the image. And noise has zero mean. If these assumptions are correct and valid, then you could just take the mean of the pixels in the neighborhood. Then the result will tend toward the true pixel value fmn, and noise will be suppressed. Not completely removed, but suppressed. So what we are doing here, in essence, is a special collection of pixels around the pixel being processed is used to compute a statistical measure instead of an ensemble of pixels as in multi-frame imaging, because we don't have multiple frames, but using data within the single frame that we have. So in essence, we are making the assumption that process is ergodic and that we can substitute spatial statistics for ensemble statistics. So if you take a 3x3 or 8 connected neighborhood for mean filtering, then the output GMN is 1 over 9, the sum of F, m plus alpha, n plus beta for alpha, beta going minus 1 to 1, which I explained earlier in the properties of Fourier transform as integration. This, with averaging, it is a kind of integration over a little window, and because you're dividing by 9, it is averaging. So you're taking the mean of these pixel values, and that is the same as convolution with this mask, with all values equal to 1. So we've already seen this before under the properties of the Fourier transform. Now, when a filter like this sits across an edge, you have an object, and the filter, if it is completely within the object, it is all right. If they fit completely outside the object in background, that is all right too. But when the 3x3 neighborhood cuts across an object's edge, then it will mix some pixels from the object, some pixels from background, and the edge of the object is then blurred, much like imaging the object with a low-pass filter system.